guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
Kids, I envy you.
I so envy you because, truth be told, your options have never been better with Dr. Brown's Options Plus wide neck bottles. From nipple to base, it eases the transition from breast to bottle and back again. Each nipple is specifically engineered to offer the same consistent natural flow so that you and your twins know what to expect at every feeding. The new breast-like nipple shape is correctly contoured for a proper latch and a more natural bottle feeding experience. So together with the anti-colic internal vent system, your twins will feed with minimal fuss. And when your babies are no longer gassy, remove the venting system and continue to use the Options Plus bottle without the extra parts. Brilliant! It really is brilliant. You guys are so lucky. So for more information on the Dr. Brown's Options Plus bottle, visit drbrownsbaby.com. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of our Twiniversity podcast. So today we're going to talk about something that is on every human's mind, no matter what you think, and it's poop. Who doesn't poop, right? We all poop, but getting them to actually poop where we want them to poop is a whole different topic. So today we are so stoked to be speaking to one of our awesome Twiniversity writers, Natalie Downey. She's from Alabama. She's a mama of six kiddos. Holy Moses. And the best part is, like, when I meet moms that have big families, I usually always am curious to where the twins fall into the pack. And so Nat's twinnies, or Natalie's twinnies, are the youngest of her brood, but her oldest is 15, running down to her three-year-old twinnies. She is a very, very busy stay-at-home mom, which, God, I don't know any stay-at-home moms that are like, yeah, I have a life of leisure and I'm constantly lunching and I never know, you know, how many tennis times I could make that day. I never meet a stay-at-home mom that does that. And Natalie is literally no different. So when we were thinking about, you know, we want to have this discussion about potty training twins, it's fantastic if somebody's been through it and, you know, they've done this. But when you meet a mom that has not only done this with her twins, but with her four previous children, that was it. We were sold. So welcome, Natalie, to our podcast.
Thank you. Hello. I'm glad to be here. I'm really excited to talk about poop.
We love poop. Poop is one of our favorite topics, as I said. So yeah, so let's talk a little bit about you and your twinnies and, you know, how you decided to stay home. Like, I always am so interested to kind of know the background. And I love that you do, by the way. And a lot of parents don't realize that I was a stay-at-home mom too. And so when people are like, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, that actually irritates me beyond end, because I genuinely feel that I was busier taking care of the kids than my sister ever is at her 9-to-5 job. I don't care what she says. So that's what I go. So tell us a little bit about your family and how this whole thing came to be.
Okay. Well, I have six kids, as you mentioned. My oldest is 15. I stopped working and began staying home when he was two. So I've been home for 13 years now. The decision was made, I guess, mostly just because I always just really wanted to stay home with him. I just, for me personally, preferred to, you know, spend the time at home with him. And I actually homeschool also. So I've just always really enjoyed teaching my kids, and I just like to be with them a lot. So I just gave up work and decided to stay home full time. And then the next one is 12. And then I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and then my 3-year-old twins were actually quite a surprise. We were pretty content with our four kids. And then we had a surprise pregnancy, which turned into a surprise twin pregnancy. Wow. So needless to say, that was a very big shock, but we love them and we can't imagine life without them. So it's fun. Wow. Very busy.
It is very busy. I do love a good surprise twin pregnancy. I don't know if anybody really plans a twin pregnancy. I don't know. People like, yeah, we knew it was going to be twins. So we kept going, right? Everybody, it's always, it's always a surprise. So now how, tell us about like your little potty training journey. So when you started, you know, let's say 13 years ago, right? Did you,
yeah.
So that was your son. So when you started potty training your son, when did you start? What did you do to begin the whole, like, okay, we're going to do this?
Well, obviously with your first, you kind of play it by ear. You know, you don't, you've never done it before, so you don't exactly know what you're doing. I read a lot of books. I talked to a lot of other parents, and I just kind of had a no-nonsense approach to it. Just, you know, the sooner we get this figured out, the better, because mm-hmm. nobody likes to poo in their pants. And, you know, let's see what we can do to help you not have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, my approach has always been just kind of a, when you know, they're able to understand and they can, you know, you just kind of know, okay, they understand what's going on now, which for me has been around the age of 2, 2.5. You just kind of have to talk with them. Look, mm-hmm. you're so big now, and I know you can do it, and this is going to be so great. And, you know, really talk it up and really express major confidence in them, because I think they feed off of your confidence. And then we would just say, this is what we're going to do. From now on, we're going to wear underwear during the day, and you can wear your diaper still when you're sleeping. Cause you know, you understand that, you know, they're not old enough mm-hmm. yet to
Absolutely.
Be able. So for us, it was just kind of a pick a date and commit to it. And then just understand that it's going to be a little rough for a mm-hmm. while, you know, and that you've really just got to stick with it. So for me, that's been pretty successful with 6 kids. So I feel like it's probably a pretty solid approach.
I
Not
think
that they're all different, you know, but it's worked with all of them. So yeah.
Consistency seems to just be generally the big, one of the biggest parenting kind of, you know, trip ups that, you know, people do make decisions and they go back on it and they second guess themselves. And
yeah.
when you second guess yourself, it's really just confusing the kids. The kids are just like, what are we doing? Are we using underwear? Are we not using underwear? Am I using the bowl? Am I peeing in my pants? Exactly what's happening. So I love that you're just like, this is what we're doing. Now, did you have friends and family that had potty trained before, or this was like your super intro to potty training with your first son?
I was the first in my family of my siblings to have a kid. So I didn't really have any, you know, he didn't have any aunts or uncles I could ask about it. Mm-hmm. I talked to my mom, my son's grandma, about it a little bit, and she, you know, gave me the best advice she could remember from when she had potty trained me and my siblings. Mm-hmm. But mostly I think I'm a big reader, so I really tried to read, and I just came across a lot of information that, to me, I kind of built my confidence that, okay, he's I feel like he's mature enough, old enough. I feel like this is not really expecting something unreasonable from him. So I'm going to be confident that he can do it. And I'm going to just stick with it and not give up. And really express that confidence. And obviously understanding accidents are definitely going to
Absolutely.
Happen. Like that's just a part of the process. I think whether you start when they're 2 or whether you start when they're 4, mm-hmm. I think there are just going to be accidents because mm-hmm. it's a new thing for them.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think to just make sure not to make a big deal about that, you know, and just say, it's fine, you know, this is part of the process, but, you know, eventually you won't have these accidents anymore, and we're just mm-hmm. going to keep with it and not, because you're totally right about second guessing yourself. Like, I think you just, when an accident happens, you mm-hmm. think, well, is it too soon? Mm-hmm. Are they not ready? Another thing is when you go on vacation or you go even just shopping, there are things that can kind of throw off your regular routine with mm-hmm. potty training. And so it can be easy to say, well, just this one time, we're just going to throw a diaper on because mm-hmm. this is easier for, and understandably for long car rides or something like that. But I think to keep switching back and forth is confusing
yeah.
and can be kind of counterproductive too in the long run.
Yeah. And funny thing is that the parents think that, oh, they weren't ready. So we're going to do, but yeah, it's just very, very confusing that ultimately I, the people that I know and myself that had the ultimate success was the people who did not mess around. It was just, this is what we're doing. The whole family knows we're doing it. Here's going to be our system of whether it's, you know, timed potty breaks or, you know, using a reward system. Everybody has something different. And it's just, it's very interesting because I will tell you truthfully, Natalie, for my daughter, that's what we did. Boom. No, you know, pull up. We just went to underwear. And she earlier, like, oh, she wasn't even two. And she said no more diapers. She didn't want to wear diapers. And I was like, what? You're not even two. Like, to me, like, I can remember, literally, it's like one of the crazy mom memories that you have. She was standing on the changing table and I was like pulling up her pants and she was holding onto my shoulders and she said no more. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And that was it. And that was literally Anna being potty trained was like, I'm good. But my dude was totally, totally different. And I wonder now in hindsight if it was different because I always said that it was different because he was a dude. Right. So that's why, because boys in general, you know, the national average is significantly later than girls to potty train boys within the U.S. So but I did. I kept going back and forth. He's not ready. He's not doing anything. That was such an absolute horror show or a poop show, just to fill in the blanks here. So now you've had dudes, you've had little girls. Since you have boy girl twins, did you approach this any differently whatsoever because you had a boy and a girl? Like, and talk about, like, if you did have a reward system or some kind of tracking system or what your schedule is like when you get to your fifth and sixth child, right? When you get to these little puppies at the end, when you decided to do it, did you do it at the same time? Did you potty train her first? What did you do differently with your twins than you did with your previous singletons?
Well, I actually didn't do a whole lot differently. When I decided to go for it, there was no way I wanted to get one potty trained and then turn around and have to do the next. Mm-hmm. So we just went for it with both of them at the same time. I think they were about two in a few months. Mm-hmm. And we just had two little potties that sat on the floor. And we just began to, you know, for me, the thing that I've always done is set the timer. Mm-hmm. And because I'm at home, that is something I'm able to do. But I set the timer. I mean, even at the beginning, if it has to be like every 15 minutes. And when the timer goes off, I would just say, okay, it's potty time. Let's go. We got to go potty. The timer's beeping. And we would just go sit on the potty. And then I would set the timer for sitting on the potty. Like, okay, we're going to sit for 2 minutes or something like that. Okay. And just really try to build that consistency of setting the timer, trying. If they don't go, that's fine. We'll try again next time. If they did go and had some success, I did use a reward system at first. With the twins, I used little marshmallows. So mm-hmm. if they went number one, they got a little marshmallow. If they went number two, they got two marshmallows. And then I would gradually phase that out eventually once I was like, okay, y'all are old enough that you don't need a treat anymore for going to the bathroom. But yeah, so the reward system I did use, and then I didn't really do a whole lot differently with them. I think that boys do get a bad rap for being more difficult to potty train, but in mm-hmm. the case of my boy-girl twins, my boy was a lot easier.
Wow.
He gave me no problem whatsoever. He did great. And my girl was actually, of my girl twin, which is the baby of the family of all my kids, was the most difficult to potty train because she just resisted a little bit more, mm-hmm. Just would say, no, I don't need to go, you know, or no, I don't want to, or, you know, stuff like that. Whereas with the boy, he was always, you know, totally down with potty time whenever that happened to be. So she's completely trained now at 3.5, but she took longer than he did by a couple of months, I would say.
Wow. That's definitely different. Yeah. Now, before you said that you had two potties, where do the potties live? Because I know some people are like, potties are always in the bathroom, the end of that story. Or sometimes people are like, we put potties in the living room so that we make it very natural and they don't feel like they're rushing off. Where did your potties live in your house?
Well, for the most part, they stayed in the bathroom side by side because there was a little healthy competition there that we kind of played into where, you know, them going, if one was going, the other one would see that, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of run off and go sit on their potty too. So in the very beginning, the healthy competition kind of helped, mm-hmm. I think, to be like, you know, they kind of motivated each other and they liked to sit next to each other. Sometimes they would even hold hands on the potty.
Aww.
And they really liked to encourage each other when one had a success, the other one had to see it and would freak out if we flushed it before they could see it. So they always would come running if they heard that one had a success and they're like, I want to see, I want to see. So I thought that was a little weird, but also I guess that's a twin thing.
Yeah.
And
I think it's fine.
So for that reason, we kind of kept their potties next to each other in the bathroom. Right. We did sometimes put them together, their little potty seats, like in front of the TV or something. If mm-hmm. we were like, okay, we know y'all probably need to go, but sometimes the TV can help a little to just get their minds off what's yeah. happening. And I don't know, just maybe distract them so they'll sit a little longer mm-hmm. and give it more of a chance to happen. So that's a good thing about those little potty seats is that you can kind of move them around if you need to,
yeah.
you know, but you know, we like to keep them in the bathroom for the most part.
Now you said you set a timer for them to sit there and you just said too that you sometimes had them in front of the TV when they were in the bathroom. Did you ever give them a book or what did you do to try to keep them there a little bit longer if nothing was happening?
Yeah, well, I know the tendency is that they do want to sit down and then pop right back up and say, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to teach them, no, you're not done because you got to sit long enough to kind of, you know, give it a chance for something to happen. And so we would give them books. I would bring sometimes like a stack of board books in there and say, let's just read a book while we sit on the potty. Mm-hmm. Or we would sing songs or, you know, give them my phone and let them just look at that for a few minutes so that, you know, anything to kind of get them to sit long enough
okay.
so that they realize we're not just sitting down and then popping right back up. Like
yeah.
we're trying to sit here for a reason and a purpose. So, yeah.
Wow. How many weeks were your 20s born?
I was 36 and a half weeks.
36 and a half. So they were right on
yeah.
pretty much on schedules, which is really
yeah.
fantastic. So good. That definitely, you know, I think also that's something that you guys have, like for you that are listening, if your babies were born, you know, more on the premature side, you may really want to wait a little bit. And that whole adjusted age does come into it. So just remember that, you know, while Natalie's telling her story, they were pretty much a term. But if you had 29 weekers, the timing is definitely going to be a little bit different as opposed to what Natalie is saying. So I always feel like with twins, that's like this little loophole that we have, right? Because maturity wise, maybe they're ready, maybe one is ready, maybe the other is, you know, not ready. But what Natalie was saying, which I think is really a very, very big important thing that I don't want to glaze over, is that she was potty training them at the same time. This is one of those things when people have twins, they're like, oh, like in my example, right? I never claimed to know everything, guys. But in my example, I really should have just waited, or I should have at least pushed him a little bit more to make them keep on the same schedule, because it was so weird to have her nun in diapers and then had, you know, a size of diapers there, then two different size pull-ups for the overnight. It was a little complicated in our little diaper basket that we had. So ultimately, if you can try potty training them at the same time, definitely, definitely. And I love the competition there. That's probably one of the perks of twins, especially when it comes to potty training and eating vegetables. And if you could just sell it to them. And what's funny, Natalie, I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but sometimes I say that being a parent, I feel like I'm a used car salesman. Like, how am I going to get you on this potty today? Like, let's talk about
yeah.
it. Do you need a book? Could you watch a show? What exactly could we do for you? Because parenting really is, I feel, all about sales and how we're going to convince these kids to do these things. And I imagine as a homeschool mom, you must really feel like that. Like, okay, you know, so somebody might call it a strategy of getting the kids to listen. I just basically feel like I'm a used car salesman. And, you know,
yeah.
that's what I think. How are you going to eat this, whatever it is today? And I'm still 100 years later, because my kids are now 132 years old, because that's what it feels like in
yes.
dog years.
It does.
So much time has gone by. Now, another thing that I do want to ask, and going back to the reward system and all of that, you said that your daughter took a little bit longer. Did you modify anything because you saw that she was taking longer to potty train?
I think I really didn't modify anything. I just tried to remain consistent and stick mm-hmm. with it, and just keep her in underwear and keep trying, and just continue the same thing. My son Felix, he got it down. So even though I started them at the same time, I feel like I didn't finish at the same time. Like,
okay.
It was like potty training them together, and mm-hmm. then it also was a little like not potty training them together, because he completely got it like right away. and he did awesome. And then Sparrow, my daughter, just took a little longer, and we just had to keep reinforcing and, you know, keep encouraging her to get on the potty, and just keep working with her.
Yeah.
But I don't, I wouldn't say that I modified anything. Yeah, I would say that mostly I just continued doing the same thing just for longer with her than I had to do it with him before he was kind of more independent.
Now, before you even had them sitting next to each other on the potties, did you introduce this whole concept of potty training through a book? Did you let them come into the bathroom when you were going to the bathroom? How did you introduce this? Or did you literally open a bathroom door, surprise there's two chairs, and you're like, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to wear underwear, and we're going to sit on this, and magic fluid's going to come out of us. Did you have any, like, pre-discussion before you even got to potty day?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like discussions like that happen just all the time with my kids anyways, because they're always with me. So as far as letting them come in the bathroom with me, I feel like that has just from day one, they, they burst through the door, whether I wanted them to or not, they're pretty much always in there. So they seem to be pretty familiar even before with what happens in the bathroom. Also, they have older siblings, so we're just always together. I feel like they just were not oblivious to what toilets were for and things like that. And yeah, as they're with you in the bathroom, you know, you just say, mommy's going potty or whatever. Okay, now we're going to flush and this is what we do. And they just kind of, because they're around it, they just kind of pick up on what's happening in the bathroom. They did have some shows that they liked to watch that had potty songs and things like that. So we did sing the potty songs sometimes from their shows. And so I don't know how much that really helped, but maybe it did. Maybe that really helped, too, to solidify for them, like, an understanding of what it means to use the bathroom, you know.
Very, very. I really love that. And I think it's interesting as time seems to progress. I know that if you are a stay-at-home mom, it's definitely easier because your kids are in the bathroom with you a lot more. But I always wonder, like, if it's, you know, are you instructing grandma to do that? So you have to take that every single situation is going to be different. So if you're a full-time mom and potty training, obviously it's going to be a little bit different than it's going to be if you're home full-time. So just there's a lot of things to take into consideration. So I want everybody to know that this is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. Potty training twins, boys, girls, you know, premature, born on time, all of these things play into it. And Natalie has been so lucky. She really has. But you know, the thing that's making her, it's not luck. It really is that consistency. It wasn't luck. You can make things happen, right? It's not, I found a four-leaf clover. Today's the day. We're going to start potty training. You had so much experience that by the time you got to the twins, you had the confidence to know this is successful. You're like, I know that, you know, they're ready. I feel that they're ready. And we're just doing it. So I love that you had that, which is great. But I'm sure that you remember when your son, you know, for your first child, it's a little scary. And you're like, is it too soon? I'm not. So I think that the twins being at the tail end of your family definitely was a huge asset. Now, the next big question, to stand up or to sit down? The boy peeing dilemma. How did you run that since you had, you know, two boys? You know, or two boys before your girl, and then an additional boy and an additional boy. When did you start the standing situation?
I definitely started them out sitting down. So I know that each of my boys, I started out sitting down and then just kind of making sure they knew to make it point down, because that's also a very important little bit of advice. So I tried to make sure they knew they were responsible for pointing it down. At what point did they stand up? Trying to think. I know my little boy is standing up now and he's 3 and a half. I would say probably around 3. Really, when they were, as far as the little potties that sit down on the ground, it's not very convenient for them to stand up because then they're just too tall above it.
Yes.
And so that can be a little risky as far as accidents and things like that. So I would kind of just keep them sitting until they were tall enough to stand at the regular sized potty.
Okay.
And then kind of, you know, look, now you can stand. And usually that was around the time they wanted to start standing anyways, because they would have seen their dad stand or, you know, they somehow realized that this is what boys yes. do. And then they kind of on their own would start wanting to stand up. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, like if we're in public restrooms, I'll put my little boy on top of my feet and he stands up so that okay. he doesn't have to touch anything.
Yes.
And that makes him tall enough to yes. reach. But it's definitely interesting with boy girl twins because my daughter also will try to stand up.
Yes.
And I've had to teach her. No, this doesn't work for girls. I'm sorry, but
I know,
you have
it's
to
so
sit
sad.
Down.
It's one of the worst parts about being a woman. I would love to be able to pee standing up. I always say it should be yeah. a learned skill, but I remember that happened with us that Anna was just standing next to the bowl and she just started peeing. And I was like, nope, this is not quite where I thought this was going. So yeah, it's one yeah. of those things you think about explaining a little bit too late sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I walked in the bathroom actually and found her standing and trying to imitate what she had seen her brother do. And I was like, no, you can't. I'm sorry. You have to sit. Yeah. And so that reminds me of another thing that has been very beneficial with us with teaching boys how to use the bathroom is that mm-hmm. we've used outside. Mm-hmm. We've taught several of my boys to potty because we were outside and we were like, you know, oh, here you can go in the grass or,
yes.
you know, assuming you're not in the middle of like a city
of
park
course.
And there's
yes.
no, but if you're in a pretty secluded spot outside, you know, uh-huh. in your backyard or something, and you can show them that they can go on a tree or in the grass, for my boys, that's just been like mind blowing for them. And that has really made them interested, like more interested in potty training, like, oh, and then, you know, they want to run outside every time they need to go too. But that's been, you know, something you can kind of take advantage of with boys, but unfortunately it doesn't really help with girls.
Nah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. But yeah, the boys, I would think that would be so fun. I never thought about how awesome that would be for my dude to just be able to run in a backyard and pee. He would love that. He would have loved that. He would have been peeing all over the backyard. It would have been him and the dog having peeing competitions. That would have been our, if I had a backyard, that's what it would be. But that's so funny. But yeah, it's true. I never really thought about using nature as a motivator to get the kids there. Plus, it's awesome because if you have a backyard, this is like the stupid urban person I am. It's like a second bathroom out there if I really think about it. So, yeah, if I were buying a home, I would only need one bathroom, and then I'd send the dudes outside.
If it's summertime, you can just send them outside, you know, pretty much naked, assuming you have a fence around your yard, no creepy people looking.
That's so funny.
You can just send them outside and, yeah, totally take advantage of the fact that, you know, it's a lot easier, at least, for boys.
I think that's going to be our next podcast is going to be called Raising a Nudist. Natalie's Guide to Raising Twins. I love that.
I have so much to say about that. So
I have a lot of friends that their kids are fairly nudist. I say my kids are too. The minute my son comes home, he takes off his pants, and thank God for the show The Goldbergs. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's the father, the patriarch of the family. The minute he comes home, he takes off his pants and he sits in his lazy board chair. Like, he's not even in the door. And I feel like this is my son is really should be a member of that show. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So
my kids do hate clothes. So yeah.
I don't know. I'm a fan
totally
of clothes.
Understand.
I like them. I don't mind. I would prefer just to not wear a bra though, Natalie. If I had a choice.
I mean, I completely understand.
That's what I would get rid of. So this is really, really such great information. I'm gonna like recap it for our listeners so we could, and then you correct me if I've gone stray here. Okay. So
okay.
You started when you thought that they were ready, and this could be ready for a million different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're asking to use the potty. It could just mean that my mommy instincts are telling me it's time. So when your little mommy alarm goes off, we start our potty training. In a perfect universe, we potty train them at the same time. We have two different potty seats that stay in the bathroom. We typically use board books or some kind of other activity to keep them on the potty. But more importantly, before we even go into the room, they've had a little introduction to potty time, whether it was through a parent or books or television or something that was introducing the potty. And then we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up a timer. Every time the timer goes off, we're going to go into the bathroom. We're going to sit on our potty. We're going to read our books. And we're going to stay on the timer until the timer goes off a second time. Once the timer goes off the second time, we wash our paws, we get out of the bathroom, and then we're timing it again for our next bathroom break. And then we repeat the process. We go cold turkey, No pull-ups during the day. We just get some sweet little cutie underwears. They could even pick them out themselves, which I think, honestly, will make a difference in potty training if your kids feel like they had some kind of control over the underwear that they chose instead of just, you know, I'm not saying don't buy them from, you know, Costco or what, Walmart, buy them there, but maybe they want Bubble Guppies. Maybe they want Elmo. Let them choose what they have. Once they're wearing their underwear, we commit to this. We super commit. Everybody in the family is on board. There will be no deviating from this plan, with the exception of long road trips or something that's going to really throw our schedule off. We start this process and we start with a reward system, because soon they will be tricking you into just getting rewards. So you start off with one marshmallow for a pee and two marshmallows for a poop. This is where sibling rivalry comes into play. Liz, I love my play-by-play, by the way. I feel like I'm like an NFL commentator. So here's how we're going to do it, Natalie. So with our reward system, we have that in play. We use that for as long as we feel is appropriate. You don't use it for the first 15 years. Totally not necessary. But I would say, you know, until everybody is confidently going with, you know, without any accidents. You could start introducing little dudes to stand up later on down the line once they've mastered the art of pointing down and peeing in a little potty. Peeing outside is your friend as long as it is a safe environment that is fully enclosed. That's really a great motivator. And really, you know, going to the potty when you can, like getting to the actual bowl from the potty when you can, is going to really be determined by the height of the children or, you know, how capable they are. There's sometimes also a little scare factor of being able to sit on the potty. So that's something that you might want to take into consideration. I know that when my 20s were younger, we would travel with Post-its because they were very, very freaked out by the automatic flushing bowls outside in public. So you can actually take a Post-it and put it over the little sensors so that if your dude is trying to stand there to pee and it's taking too long, it's not just constantly flushing and scaring the bejeebies out of him. So there's a lot of little hacks that you could do, but ultimately, consistency, comfort, normalcy, and consistency, and consistency. How did I do, Nat, with my wrap up?
Yes, I think you nailed it. I think that's exactly the thing that will hopefully have great success for people. And the main thing, like you said, is consistency. And I think also understanding that this is not forever. Like, this is just for a time. Because it may feel at first with the timers and everything like we are doing nothing but sitting on the potty all day. And you kind of do sit on the potty a lot in the first couple of weeks. But just remember that with consistency and a lot of confidence, that it won't be forever. Like the timer part will only be for a couple of weeks before they'll begin to be able to, or at least you can spread the timer out and you make it, you know, a lot further intervals. So yeah, just to remember, this is just temporary. It won't last forever. And that accidents are going to happen. That's a part of it. And not to make a big deal about it because they're little, you know, and they're trying, and this is new for them. And, you know, to never, ever, ever shame them or make them feel bad about having an accident, but just say, it's okay. We'll clean it up. That's fine. We'll try again next time. You know, it's okay. And yeah, just stick with it and be consistent and know that this is going to, you'll get it. They'll get it, you know, so yeah.
How long do you think the whole process would typically take? Like if a family was like, okay, this is going to be our plan, do you think it takes 6 weeks? Do you think it takes 6 months? What do you averagely take from the first day on the potty to 100% confidence that we got it covered?
I'm trying to remember with my twins when we began. I would say a couple of months. Like I would say try to plan for it's going to get easier every week. Like every week you will see a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel. But to get to a point where you are pretty confident that they're going to be able to go all day and not have an accident and not, you know, need your prompting and everything like that, I would say that would be a couple of months. And it is different per kid. I mean, my boy twin was faster than my girl twin. She just took a little bit longer and a little more time. And one thing that was difficult with us was my older sons play soccer. So we were constantly at the soccer field. So we were in that bathroom. Mm-hmm. I feel like one season we were basically in the bathroom more than we were on the soccer field watching the games. But, you know, you just have to, they're little and their bladders are small and they just mm-hmm. have to go a lot. And, you know, you just have to kind of stick with it and know, okay, this is really not fun right now, but it's also necessary. I mm-hmm. mean, you eventually have to cross this mountain anyways. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you just kind of grit your teeth and stick with it with consistency, yes. the sooner you'll be able to get past it. Obviously if a kid has a special need or mm-hmm. some kind of a delay, or if they were a preemie, which is something I'm really not familiar with, because thankfully mine were full term. Then I'm sure that there are special exceptions that you're going to have to take mm-hmm. in understanding your kids' limitations, if that is the case for them.
Absolutely. And another thing that yeah. I want to just add is that I keep saying consistency. I do think that another big thing kind of going along with this is patience. Because I will tell you yeah. the truth, that studies will show that if you shame a child, right? So let's say that child has an accident and you're like, oh my gosh, how could you do this? We've done it so much. They will then start sneak peeing and they will start sneak pooping in their pants or whatever. And now we have another hurdle to overcome. So even the accidents, you just have to let it go. It's just an accident. You know, maybe they've been pooping and peeing in their diapers for 3 years. You can't possibly expect these kids to pick something up in 4 days. It's not going to happen. It is unrealistic. The potty training process is not one that you potty train in a weekend in 6 easy steps. That's BS. That's never going to happen. Nobody's going to have success like that. You need to be consistent and you need to be patient, and ultimately it will happen. I always remind our Twiniversity students that, you know, the odds are that your kids are not going to be pooping and peeing in their pants until they get back to college, and that's going to be by accident when they've had too many frat parties. But you just got to get through that hump and you got to teach them responsibility, and here's the process. But yeah, patience is really, really key. And I do know it gets very frustrating. And if you guys are listening to this and you're like, I've done all that and we've done it and we've done the marshmallows and we whatever, there is no real right answer here. You just have to be patient, and we promise you that it really will happen. And if you start to see that, okay, I'm losing hope, speak to your pediatrician. Speak to your pediatrician. There may be some actual physical abnormality with your children, and you're just assuming that everything is okay. You know, like preemies are more predisposed to have kidney issues, and sometimes we may be more predisposed to UTIs. There's things that we have as preemie families that we're going to see a lot more than Natalie does. So we have to talk to our pediatrician. And if your gut is saying, this should have been done by now, this should have been done by now, you need to speak to somebody. So never, never, never rush it. Just be consistent and be patient. And look, if Natalie could do it with 6 kids and say, yeah, it happens. Here's what we have. This is what we do. You're so calm about it, Natalie, that it's so refreshing that you're not like manic potty training 101. It's so like, yeah, been there, done that, peed on that. We made it and we live to tell. So I really cannot thank you enough. It's so great to hear not only from a twin mom's perspective, but such an experienced stay-at-home mom, and seeing every, you know, step of it. It's got to be so rewarding, and not only for you, but really for our listeners. So thank you very,
yeah,
very
thank
much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've definitely appreciate you giving me the chance to talk, and I feel like I've almost conducted my own little experiment at home with 6 different kids.
Oh, you
and
did.
If I can do it, you can do it. Anyone can do it. We can all do it. So
yes, yes,
you got
yes.
this.
You do have it. And guys, don't forget, we have a mentorship program, and it's not just for expecting families. That if you're going through the potty training process and you need somebody to hold your hand a little bit more, that's what we do, guys. I don't know if you realize that there's 3 big pillars of Twiniversity. One is education, which we're trying to school you right now on the arts of potty training. The next one is community. You don't have to do this by yourself. We could do it as a team. We could do it online. We could start a Facebook page. Give us some suggestions if you think that you could have a better potty training experience with more support. That is what we are here for. And then the last one, of course, our pillars of Twiniversity are always to make you laugh, which I hope that we do on a regular basis, because it does not have to be serious 24/7. You could smile, and if you smile, you're going to teach your kids to smile, and if you teach your kids to smile, everybody's going to be happier. So thank you so much, Natalie. The good news is if you have if you got questions for Natalie or me, or the other Natalie, which I'll just call myself the other Natalie today, and I do love our name, Natalie, by the way. Do you love your name?
I know. I do. I love it.
Me too. I absolutely, I was never one of those little girls in school that was like, oh, I wish my name was this. I was like, psh, no, I've loved my name since I was a little girl. And we all have, you know, common enough names in my family that people could spell, but uncommon enough that people say, that's a beautiful name.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not in a class with a whole bunch of other ones.
Yes. My sister's name is Vivian.
Okay,
so
that's pretty.
It is pretty. So we were always Natalie and Vivian. It's kind of cute. I just went old school with Anna and Johnny for my kiddos. What are your kiddos' names?
My first is Brayden, then Silas, Finley, Atticus, Felix, and Sparrow.
Sparrow so I think, is the sweetest.
Yeah. I think we went kind of a little unusual, or at least we thought maybe they were going to be more unusual than they ended up being. But we just... kind of like unique names that you don't hear every day. So,
I
yeah,
love them. That's... Yes, I remember that I always said I would have preferred not to have a child who there'd be one of, you know, like 18 people in their classroom. And the year that the twins were born, I really wanted to name my daughter Isabella. And when she finally got to kindergarten, it was so funny because there was so many Isabellas that I can remember
right.
My sister saying, thank goodness that that wasn't the name. So naming your kids, I think that could be a whole other podcast that we talk about is naming. And that's really a fun one. I'm always curious of how people came up with their names and stuff. So we're going to save that because I love this topic because I could just talk about the name Natalie forever. But excuse me, if you have more questions for Natalie, just email us at community@twiniversity.com. That is the easiest way to get to her. So this has been so awesome. We hope that we gave you some skills and that we motivated you a little bit and gave you a little less fear and just say, listen, consistency, patience. You got this, mama. You got this, papa. There is nothing that you can't do. And if you don't feel like you could do it, we got your back and we'll show you the ropes. So for now, thank you so much for listening. This is Natalie Diaz, as always. And don't forget that we have our Twiniversity online classes. If you're currently expecting, we want to help you get set up there. So thanks so much for now and see you later, alligators.